GoCast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show with Adam Ray, Brad Williams. What's going on, Adam?
What's up, man?
Doing
it out of the studio today.
Doing it out of the studio today because, Adam, by the time this airs, you will be where?
I will be in Seattle with a fistful of, you know what, let me just back up. I don't think you should start anything by saying I'm going to be in a fistful
yeah,
of...
Yeah, fistful of anything. My mind went to bad things.
Well, in my head, I was going to figure out a way to describe how I was going to be spending a lot of time with my nieces. I don't know why the phrase fistful...
fistful
I'm going to be knee deep in fun. How about that? It still sounds.
By the way,
disgusting.
if your nieces go missing Monday or Tuesday, the cops will listen to this podcast and know that you did it.
He said something about going knee deep in fun. We don't know what that means, but we definitely know that he had something to do with their whereabouts.
But yeah, it can't be good.
And, yeah, I'll be in Seattle. I will have been in Seattle enjoying the Thanksgiving festivities, and you will be.
I will be in a meeting. That may or may not change my life, and that's about all I can say. I wish I can say more.
Well, I know what it is.
Yeah, you know what it is.
It's a no-brainer, and I'm crossing all parts of my body.
Yeah, you should really get those testicles looked at.
Well, you know,
I mean, I appreciate the enthusiasm. It was there for you, and I felt the love, man. But
superstitious.
Yeah, so let's I just don't want to be that guy that talks about it.
No,
then
that's
if it
when
doesn't
it doesn't happen. That's when
then
it doesn't
it's
happen.
Like, oh, crap. Now,
but you know what we can talk about?
What can we talk about?
Our guest today.
We can talk about our guest today. Our guest today is, in addition to being a very funny comic,
easily one of the most interesting people in comedy right now.
Certainly,
and I'm not just saying that because we're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because as I've gotten to know him, well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dean Del Rey.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going, Dean?
Yeah.
Dean,
what if we just did like 45 minutes and then
just,
was like
just
you,
intro?
And you guys are at my house. I'm like, when am I on? You're like those kids in school. Let's use his toys and then we'll leave.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's pretty much what happens when you bring up comedian Tom Dreesen. Here in town is his intro is about 15 minutes.
Is it really?
So yeah. So he's
the one that is open for like Sinatra.
Yes.
And, he's incredible.
Been on Letterman an amazing number of times.
So many credits.
He has the record or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's like over 200 times on the David
Jesus.
Letterman show. So when you bring him up, he makes you say the exact number of times he's been on Letterman, which is constantly
I would
in flux.
Too, right? I mean, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. And
you earned it.
Go ahead and say how many times I've been on.
That would be something that we all have in common with most of our listeners of the About Last Night show. I'm sure we have one guy that had a stupid pet trick that is like, suck it, Ray and Williams. I've been on it.
Yeah, dude. The bird call guys.
Yeah. Call.
19 Tonight Show appearances. God.
That's absolutely frightening. And one stat about Dean Del Rey, our guest Dean Del Rey, whose podcast is?
Let There Be Talk.
Let There Be Talk. And you recorded it at the Laugh Factory?
I was doing the Laugh Factory video-wise.
Okay.
But I found that it seems to me people don't like video podcasts.
Yeah. No, people like to listen in their cars. Yeah. And their
I know that there's
cubicles.
Networks that are trying to like change the game and do that, but it's...
Right.
You want to listen to the show.
Right.
You want to have it when you're working out or you're in the car or on a plane.
I get that. But my idea was like, okay, have like celebrities on. Mine were mostly musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can play a song. You could watch them and stuff. You know, like to me, I always want to see like the guys I like. But yeah, if it's just comedians shooting the shit, you don't need to look at that.
Right. Most of us don't have the benefits of being an Adam Ray and being very easy on the eyes, so you would rather just hear us.
That's just because I'm sitting like this and I'm wearing a new pair of jeans.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I haven't talked about this on any of the podcasts. For the last maybe 3 weeks, Adam has worn the same pair of maroon pants.
Yeah.
These are black jeans, though.
Those are black jeans.
I just got these.
But you've been wearing maroon pants.
I was for the last three shows.
Was there a reason? Are these superstitial maroon pants?
Let me tell you real quick. I don't shop a lot, all right?
Yeah.
And
shocker.
I hadn't. You know what, man? I dress for comfort.
I'm a shopaholic.
Are you?
Oh, I'm fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You
just like live at Hot Topic on the rock wall and go through all the
I don't
band
buy
t-shirts?
That stuff, actually.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm an idiot. I like the high dollar stuff, like at Barney's and shit, like a moron.
Well, you're wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt and some nice jeans and some nice black shoes.
Yeah, this shirt I bought when I was in San Fran on a last show, but But the jeans, you know, like Ralph Lauren. You know.
Well, I just started taking, like, having some pants integrity, because Crystal Lee and Bobby Lee were like, yo, bro, for sure throw those pants away.
Yeah, well, Crystal Lee, he once told me, he goes, Adam Ray could be the worst dressed guy we know, huh?
Yeah.
And I looked up and I was like, I was trying to figure out Adam Ray's look.
Right.
Like, he's from Seattle, which is fucking hip as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've been to Seattle a million times. You go up there, people look cool. They either look like dirty junkies.
Right. It's that look that takes so much time, which is the I spent about $970 on this entire outfit, yet I still manage to look like I don't give a fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that takes talent. I'm always amazed with people that can do that. And so,
sometimes I care, and sometimes I'll wear a fucking puffy vest over a turtleneck.
No.
And guess what, man? I love it.
Like, I love that people. I love that Chris says that, man. I love it.
Looks like a guy who just rolled around in the Goodwill and then went, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah.
That was stuck on him. Like,
that's hilarious. Let's get out of here. Eventually, he just goes, "You know what, man? I got enough."
What time is it?
How long we been here? 45 minutes. It's probably long enough.
I've settled on these maroon pants.
And guess what? Those maroon pants, not cheap. Yeah. And guess what?
That's the worst part. You're paying money for stuff that sucks.
You know what, man? Here's the thing.
You look good right now, though.
Thanks, man.
You look great. Did you hire a stylist?
No, this is just fucking me going, I got auditions today, and I got to look good. And,
well, I mean, you should look like that on stage. You know what I mean?
Well, I got to stop wearing the hat.
Fuck, dude.
Bobby and Callan.
You're like 40. No hat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
How old are you for real?
30.
Yeah, but you know what, man?
He's 30, but he has the hair of
hair.
And that's what Bobby and Callan are like, dude, if you have that hair, you can't be wearing hats.
Well, not only that, but you're not 24.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you go on with the hat, and it's like, this guy's an adult.
Yeah.
But that's what Geraldo said about me once when I was hosting for him in Irvine. Dude, I got up there in like backwards hat, and I had this short sleeve, like checkered shirt. Mm-hmm. And he goes, keep it going for Adam. Fucking looks like a fucking 9-year-old. Jesus Christ. He goes, thanks for dressing up, you fucking. He goes, sorry, I don't have any ice cream for it, you know, whatever.
Being the genius that Greg Geraldo was. You know what? I was going to sidetrack, but let's do an interesting thing. What? Because, like, Greg Geraldo insults you. That's a compliment.
Oh, yeah. And that's a comedian that I mean, when he did that, I was like, God, bring it on, please. Like, not only, aside from him being a roast guy, it was just like, yo, the fact that, you know, one of my favorite comics just even said, you know, whatever. But because actually, you bring up a good point. There was a show I was doing, I think, at the Comedy Juice, and there was a comedian who I won't mention who I brought him up because it was like a roll call thing. And he ended up just like making fun of one of the bits I did and then laying into me for a minute, my voice, and we're friends, and I was just like, not cool with it. And he goes, in his mind, he goes, it's flattering when a comedian makes fun of me. And I go, I don't know where you're living, but we're buddies, and I take offense to that because
you the crowd thinks that you're just, he doesn't like you.
Exactly.
And now they're on board with him. Like, maybe they didn't like you either. Totally. Like, yeah, fuck that.
Well,
guy.
What was great is that, like, I did well. So anytime you do that after somebody does well, the crowd's like, whoa, what?
Yeah, you look
insecure. We actually liked
him.
Yeah. So it didn't go over well.
Oh, okay.
His trying to put me down. But then afterwards, I was like, dude, what do you – you got jokes, man. Fucking go to that.
Yeah, use them. Dean, have you ever been insulted by a comic that you were like, oh, thank God that just happened? Because, like, it's like a great story or something.
You mean if a comic – well, I think that there's two ways to look at it. Like, some people impersonate me, which is fine, you know?
By the way, you might be one of the most impersonated comedians out there in L.A. right now. I know a bunch of people that have a Dean Del Rey impression. I think Sandy Danto is the best.
Yeah. I've done your voice at times.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
And you know what, man? You should take complete comfort in knowing how – because I've expressed to you how much I love your voice.
Yeah.
You know that. Like,
we're going to do your cartoons
dude,
and shit.
Obviously. Like,
Can we hear a little Dean Del Rey in front of Dean Del Rey?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. People think it does.
Oh, yeah.
Only if they were doing – some guys were doing my material on stage.
Yeah.
That's when I said, hey, man, I don't give a fuck what you do. You're getting the wrong idea. You can do all you want in the hallway. But when you're on stage and I'm going on 10 minutes later, you're doing my bit.
Yeah, that's
that's like that's ripping off material.
You draw the line there. What are you going to do, walk around telling people to stop –
impersonate. I mean,
it's I don't
just,
care about that. I like it.
Yeah, if anything,
funny.
It's fucking. It's there, like you know.
It's a compliment.
Go around
man.
Town and fucking spread the good word about
right.
you know.
Well, I think it's a compliment. People are like, if they fucking are you know, doing impressions,
it's a great
you,
compliment.
They're like, hey man, I'm making a mark, which yeah. doesn't bother me at all. Yeah. And like I said, but if you're doing my material on stage
sure.
with my voice,
that's just draw the line. I got to hear Dean in front. In,
all right,
in,
well,
in,
so
in,
you
friend Dean,
you'll just start talking. So act like maybe you're looking in the mirror, like asking yourself what, like pumping yourself up for a set. And it'll be Dean to Dean.
I got
to
get this going, man. God, it's just going to be crazy crowd.
Dude, you just got to stick to what works, man. Dude, are you going up? Dude, the factory loves you.
No, that's terrible, though.
I know it is.
You know what?
It's a caricature.
Like, you know you sound like exit, stage left.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a caricature. I never said it was a spot on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Only a handful of my impressions are, like, spot on.
No, sure, no. Sure. I don't mind if it's spot on. You
yeah.
know,
but
like the Sandy, caricature. Sandy's is good, you yeah. know?
But see, Adam is, like, the caricature artist at Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland or whatever theme park you go to,
right.
that if you have body issues, never go to one of these people.
Right.
Never sit down and say, let's get a caricature done. Because,
yeah.
like, especially me as a dwarf, I will never sit down for that because he'll put me with, like, sticks for arms and legs and, like,
for
and,
real?
Like the Goodyear blimp for a head.
Oh.
You know, like, it's not going to be fun. Like, whatever insecurities you
oh,
have
yeah.
about yourself, they bring out. Like, if you have a little beauty mark on your face, it's now all of a sudden the size of a large pepperoni pizza,
yeah, right.
and it's your date. You're on date with your beauty mark. It's insane.
It's like when I get off stage sometimes, and people go like, "Oh man, you remind me of you know, like Chris Farley." Mm-hmm. Which is cool, but what you're saying is I'm fat. Just say, you know, that's like a polite way of you saying I'm fat or something. Which just say like you remind me of your uncle or something.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right,
you don't
right.
need to throw in the celebrity doesn't soft
right,
touch
right,
it.
Right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I mean?
It'd be great if they followed it up with you remind me of Chris Farley, not your act. But just you in general.
Yeah, yeah. yeah
now,
yeah,
Dean, we need to before like things just get away and we don't even tackle this that. So you started comedy. Give us your age right now.
46.
And the progress you've made in 2 years?
I'm just 2 weeks ago, third year completed.
What?
Yeah. Two weeks ago.
I had no idea. I thought you were one of these journeyman guys.
No, I started November 6th, 2010. At
wow.
the Improv was my first show.
And if you're an aspiring comedian out there and you're like, God, how do I, you know, and first of all, if you're in L.A., which is a terrible idea to start here, but if you're
right.
doing it and you're here because you were already here in a 25-plus-year music career, which we'll get into in a second, but you're already here and you're like, all right, well, now I want to do this. I have no choice, but I'm not going to move to fucking Bakersfield yeah. or Iowa to just do as many as I can and come back. You hit the ground running. You hang out at clubs. You show your face. You network. You just – you be cool.
You
and
let
get to know people.
You let people know you're a comedian. So when they need a comedian, they go, oh, you know who's always funny in the parking lot? Like Dean Del Rey.
Sure.
He's always out there
and
shooting
and be a nice
shit.
Guy. And then yeah. what happens is people like what's happened where they then go, hey, you want to come open for me? Because not only have I seen you and know you're around, but we get along, and
right.
which is just as important as you being funny on stage.
That's half of it is the hang.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Oh, no, and guys will come up to me constantly.
That's what Brad first.
Yeah, yeah. Guys come up to me and go, hey, Brad, I want to open for you on the road. And my first thought is, great, I know you're funny, but
he is dressed as well as Adam Ray. That's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
The like, bar is high, yeah. and the pants are shitty.
Now, if you can do that, you can open yeah. for
you can
me.
Roll around in a Goodwill, then
yeah.
fucking show up.
I can spend $25 and look awful.
All right, I'm going to tell this story. I cannot mention the comic's name because he will absolutely kill me.
Okay.
But
this is great.
But I will say that the other comic involved was Ty Rivera. Who's,
oh, I love him.
Yeah, love Ty.
Love him.
He just had a great set on the Gabriel Iglesias show.
Yeah, he's a smasher,
yeah,
man.
Great,
yeah,
great dude. So I have Ty and this other comic opening for me. And it's somewhere like in one of these small towns in Arizona, like,
oh, like
Parker.
Scottsdale or something?
Not even Scottsdale.
Oh.
Like, even, like, I think it might be a small casino. So, you know, I'm big time, so they have us in the Motel 6. and they have...
The worst.
Yeah.
And, sandpaper sheets.
Absolutely. That weird floral pattern that looks like straight from your aunt's dress.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They still got the magic fingers. Remember that thing?
The magic fingers?
You put a quarter in that box on the side of the
bed.
Oh,
and then it just shakes the bed.
Now, what was that? Is that... That's
called magic fingers.
But what is that?
It's supposed to massage you while you're
It's supposed to
there.
Massage, but really it's like, you know what? I just bought a $25 hooker. Now I want a 30-cent vibrator. That's the level of my classiness.
My favorite was always on the magic fingers. It would say, if you enjoyed this, call us and we can deliver this bed to your house. Fuck off.
Fuck off with your shaky bed.
Oh, my God. I would love to be the operator that gets those calls. Because just the guy... The one dude that calls in, first of all, they'll be thrilled to hear from any human being, just the human contact.
Oh, shit, we got a call.
Yeah, great. But then the one guy that calls in, you know, is the dude that's driving a panel van.
Just like, your mattress, it's delightful.
It's fantastic for oh, well, I won't say.
The guy who owns Shaky Beds must have been in business with the Hostess people.
It's like the Tickle Me Elmo guys calling up and ordering that.
In the voice. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so I'm staying at the Motel 6. Now,
are you guys all sharing one room?
No, the promoter was nice enough to get us two rooms. So ooh. I'm the headliner. I go, boys, I'm hot dogging it. I'm gonna take the bed by myself and take the room by myself, and you guys can share a room. So middle of the night, Ty, this is his after the show. Ty knocks on my door. This is like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I open the door up. And for sake of, I can't say the comic's name, but let's just say the comic's name is Brad, just so there's no confusion. Yep. But it's not. The Ty knocks on my door and goes, "Brad just shit the bed."
We gotta figure out who this is already. My mind is just fucking rummaging through
now,
options.
Is he middling, the guy that shit the bed? Because it'll help
us
out a little more.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
he's middling. Ty's the host.
And what year is this?
This is about 4 years ago.
Okay, so.
And the guy.
Is it a white comic?
Nope.
Oh, shit.
I won't lie to you guys, but if I say his name, it's going to fuck.
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah. But so he goes, Brad just shit the bed.
Right.
And at first, you know, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd been asleep for maybe an hour and a half. I don't believe it. I'm like, okay, when you say shit the bed, is that a euphemism for a bad joke?
Right.
Was he laying next to you trying to material? Is shit the bed because Ty is out of the closet homosexual? Is shit the bed some
just
code?
Gay innuendo.
Yeah. Is that like, okay, I don't even want to get near that.
Are you
and
guys partying?
Yeah. And I ask him that, and he goes, no, Brad, shit
There's
the bed.
There's feces on the mattress. That's another way to put it.
And that's the thing. And because it's Motel 6, the guy put him in the same bed. Like, they had to share a bed. It wasn't two twins.
Oh.
It was one king-size bed.
Whoa.
And you know how you make that wall of pillows because it's like, hey, if we touch, we're gay.
Yeah.
The only time I'll ever accept that wall being made because this guy shit the bed. And so...
Was it diarrhea shit or solid logs?
That's a great question.
You know what? Yeah. I didn't really want to investigate.
Yeah.
The solid logs, you scrape it off, you put
it
in a bag, you go, all right, I'll put a pillow over that part of the bed.
But chocolate milkshake, then that's messy.
Dude, that's game over.
Yeah.
You're sleeping on the floor
it
in the bathtub.
It smells really
bad. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So, Todd.
What did you guys eat that night before? Did you go to a diner or something?
I think it was one of these casino gigs out
buffet.
In.
Buffet.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you guys this. If it was you who shit your pants in the bed or shit the bed and you had nothing else to wear and the only thing available to you were my maroon pants.
Oh, yeah.
Would you or would you not go out in public?
I'd wear those. Yeah.
Well, see, here's the thing. I say you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because someone going out in your maroon pants, people just automatically assumed you shit on your pants.
Sure.
And that's what made them that color.
That's that's your opinion, Brad.
I'll tell you a fucking prank that backfired on me. I was in Vegas, and my buddy was shitting in one of the stalls at Caesar. So I went to the stall next to him, didn't make any sound, and dropped my pants, and I was going to just his feet were spread apart so I could see his feet in my stall.
Okay.
I'm going to shit on his shoe, right?
So, oh, my God.
Just to get this fucker, because he's a fucking asshole that'll light your foot on fire and shit. When
okay, so he's already, like, made
yeah,
the first move.
So I'm going to get this fucker. So his shoes are hanging in my stall. I drop the pants, and I get right over it, and I drop the log, and I go, cool. And I pull my pants up and realize, oh, there's no log on his shoe. It went into my pant leg, and I pulled the pants up on it. Now, it's in my pant leg, and I'm like, fuck.
Yo.
And he hears me. He goes, what are you doing over there? And I'm like, God damn it. And now I've got shit on my inside my leg, and we're in Vegas for the week in one pair of pants.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Jesus.
Backfire right
so,
there.
So do you have to go to the gift shop?
Yeah, I go to the gift shop. I buy these terrible Vegas sweats. So I'm wearing sweats.
The ones that have, like, the drive home carefully sign on them, like all the
no,
Vegas cheesy.
Caesars on the
nice.
Side.
Nice.
And you're that asshole the whole week when
yeah,
people like
because nothing like, said because nothing says to the ladies I'm ready to party like walking
like
in
a
there
pair
with
of Caesar sweats.
Yeah. With, oh, by the way, with motorcycle boots though. Caesar sweats with motorcycle
you,
boots.
You kept the motorcycle boots.
Yeah, I wasn't going to buy, like, thongs or something. I'm already down, you know?
Well, because I say if you're going to go douche, go full douche.
That's right.
You know, like, have the flip-flops, have a tank top on
but
that says I'm with stupid.
You're spending money on bad clothing. That
gotcha.
You know, man, I'm just biding my time.
Okay,
when this movie comes out, I will be buying a lot more multicolored pants, and then it'll be popular, and then Carson Daly will start talking about it on his show, and everyone will start wearing them, and you guys will feel like fucking assholes.
You'll be like the living color of comedians. Like, what the fuck is that guy?
Dude, different.
My eyes! What do you see?
Yo, what if I became the different colored pants guy?
Every night, what's he gonna do?
What's he gonna do?
What color? I mean, in that case, you would have. I think even Steve Harvey would look at you and go, respect.
Yeah.
You know, like you're wearing different colored pants.
I would love
day.
You if you only wore aqua ones and you were known as Adam Aquaman Ray.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
That sounds like a hook that the owner of the Laugh Factory, Jamie Masada, would come up with.
Yeah, you've seen him in the new Sandra Bullock film. He is Adam Aquaman Ray.
What the fuck?
But buddy, you don't know. You go up with different colored pants, buddy. You wear the different colored pants, buddy. Then everyone come back to your show going, what color
love
pants?
It, love it, love it. What color he wear tonight, buddy?
You don't know if it's turquoise. You don't know if maroon, maybe a mauve.
Buddy, this would be incredible. It'd be incredible, buddy.
But I get Justin Bieber to tweet about your pants.
Buddy.
And I say this, and I'll get back to the shit story, but we say this about Jamie Masada. There's two stories that I have that sum up Jamie Masada, the owner of the Laugh Factory, who's a legendary owner. He's seen everyone. But he has this thing for gimmicks. He loves gimmicks. Like I think he may have been the first guy to really say it's Asian comic night or it's black night or whatever.
Theme nights.
Yeah, theme nights. So when I first started doing comedy, and I also started in Los Angeles, he would come up to me after the open mic nights and go, buddy, this is great, buddy. You dwarf, buddy. We're going to do dwarf comedy night, buddy. We have all little people in the audience, buddy.
Oh,
they all come
God.
Out. I'm like, there's like four of us in the state of California.
Yeah.
We're not going to get us all. And then he's like, we have all dwarf comedian, buddy. Yeah, because like 3 hours of, I can't reach that. Yeah. It's going to get really fucking funny. So, in fact, that now
God.
I need to write a joke.
And that was one of your jokes during the open mic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just you walking up being like, trying
I
to reach the mic,
reach that.
And then by the time you got it, you were like, good night, I'm
yeah,
Brad.
That was my 3 minutes. Yeah. And the other example I use is there's another comedian. I don't know where he went, but his first name is Andy. And he broke his arm or something. He did something to his wrist. And he had a cast on his arm. And when he walked on stage, because he still wanted to do stand-up, he had to talk about it. It was the elephant in the room. He had to go on stage and say, hey, this is why I got a cast on my arm. So he gets off stage. And Jamie walks up and says, buddy, you're a genius, buddy. You keep the cast on, buddy. You could be you could be the cast guy, buddy. Everybody want to know, wow, how did he do that? How did he do that to his arm, buddy? That's what you do. And this is the guy who's trying to make it. He's trying to get stage time. And that's why a lot of these comics will listen to Jamie.
Oh, yeah. They're like, great idea. Next thing you know, he's putting on a fake cast all the time just to make Jamie happy.
Now, Dean, one of the advantages about starting as late as you did is that you know, obviously everyone is, you know, you're working towards figuring out your point of view on stage and, like, what your voice is, so that obviously the writing is going to come easily once you figure out how you feel about certain things, what your
view
taking
on life.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, when you look at the news and you see something, you're like, oh, fuck, I immediately know my emotional connection to it and how I feel about it. So then now it's just about really peeling back the layers of why it is I want to talk about this and what I want to, you know, convey about, you know, to a room full of strangers. So you know who you are. I mean,
right.
Shit, at what point? I mean,
right.
When do you feel like you hit a point musically in life when you hit? At what age did you go, fucking, that's who Dean Del Rey is? And
yeah, you know what? It's like, I think I've always been like this, but it's hard to do comedy in your point of view. Sometimes it might be seen as mean sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I have to, I think, even soften the blow. I mean, you know, Bill Burr, he hits it pretty hard.
He's a master at it.
Yeah, they're great. But they've also been around 20 years, and,
sure,
and they've generated a crowd that goes to see that style.
Right, right.
I find a lot of times when I go on in the factory, I'm not doing impressions and I'm not doing giant wacky stuff or whatever. I'm just talking about stuff. It's going to be hit and miss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I opened a joke last night. I said, how many dudes does Taylor Swift have to fuck before the press says, oh, this girl's a slut? You know what I mean? She's fucked like 14 dudes this year, and they go, there she is, Taylor Swift,
America's sweetheart.
Sweetheart. Lindsay Lohan crashes the car, and she's a whore. She's not even fucking. She crashed the car,
right.
She's a whore. Because
they show some picture of her with her tits out, but Taylor's like all buttoned up.
Yeah.
She's not showing a lot.
Right.
She's just doing it all behind the cameras.
It's funny. I had the same observation. I never did on stage, but Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
Same way.
Yep.
She has a new boyfriend every 6 months, and I actually had Jamie Kennedy's cock inside of her, and, like, that's got to be a pretty hoary thing to do.
Well, fucking Taylor Swift had Jake Gyllenhaal. He's, like, 40 or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
John,
really?
Not once do they say, hey, this is creepy, but that...
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mary-Kate Olsen last week's making out with her 42-year-old boyfriend at the Laker game, or the Nets game, I mean, the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they're going like, oh, this is gross. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. Jake was just plowing America's sweetheart.
Yeah, how old is Taylor Swift?
She's like 22. 20 now or 20, 21.
She can't be 21, no? Is she?
Something, whatever.
She's really early 20s.
I saw it, flipping through the channels and saw her on like VH1 Storytellers, which is a show just fucking dedicated to people who have been in the music world,
for
20 plus years at least, who have these stories, who have
you
want to
hear Springsteen storytellers.
Hell yeah.
You want to hear like AC/DC storytellers, Motorhead storytellers, Simon and Garfunkel storytellers.
Dude,
those guys have seen some
even
shit.
Even Jack White, if you're going to get into the last 5 years,
hell
who's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
And he must sit around in fucking Nashville shooting himself every time he sees like One Direction. But there's always been
dude,
that kind
of
shit.
Of
we know that. But now...
Well, pop is just much more in demand.
Yeah,
and
now it's just everywhere. You know what I mean? It's like nonstop shit, which is weird.
She's up there. She's playing a song and she's singing about... she's like, this next song, and she's playing this packed room. And she's like, you know, when you're in high school and... Immediately just starting with that story, it's like, all right, if you're fucking like Eddie Vedder being like, you know, back in high school, you know, remember that girl?
Yeah,
like,
beat
you're like
up at the lockers.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
there's
some rage
like,
behind it.
There's that guy that likes you and he won't stop calling you. And then finally you're just like, I've had enough. And you tell your girlfriends, I told him tonight that I've had enough. And they get behind your back. But one of your girlfriends goes, I think you're being mean. And you stop and you think about that.
You know,
that song is for this girl.
Yeah.
This song is for, and then she starts playing, and everyone's like, "Yeah!" And they cut to like two grown men who are just looking around, like, "Why the fuck am I here?"
You
like,
know what
trying
great
to find
if
some
she,
girls.
If she went like, you know, when you're in high school and you keep getting emails, and it doesn't stop from
John
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Or John.
Wait,
Mayer.
What do you keep calling him, Jake Gyllenhaal?
What's his name?
Gyllenhaal.
Whatever.
Whatever his name is, man.
You know,
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. At that point. Jesus Christ. It, like, how? What could she say to relate? You know when you're 18?
Yeah, that's a song to hear.
You know when you're 18 years old and John Mayer's plowing you, but then he never calls you back?
Yeah, that's the storytellers you want to hear. Yeah. John Mayer just gave it to me again and didn't call me back. Didn't call me back. Now Jake Gyllenhaal's calling me.
I think what happens is these guys get some writer block. And they go, hey, why don't we fuck each other for a little bit and see if we get any kind of songs out of it? And
yo, Dean, is that a bit?
No, but
that's a great bit.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He goes, hey, that sounds good. So he goes over.
Because think about how many songs are because of, like, is that?
Yeah.
Didn't she write some song where everyone's
all of
like,
them are about her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
So each time she gets
writer's block and John Mayer, same thing. He's like, I've had 5 albums, man, a lot of hits. I got to fuck somebody that's below 20 years old. Just have a different perspective on
life and
sex.
Right.
Like a comic, you got writer's block, and you just go out like, I got to fuck some comic, dude, chick. I don't care what it is. I need some jokes. Hey, what's happening? It's Dean Del Rey. Tune into my show every Tuesday, Poolside with Dean Del Rey, 2 p.m. Pacific. I've got rock stars on. We talk comedy, music, movies, whatever. We talk the shit. Tune in, Poolside with Dean Del Rey.
Oh, there's times, and I'm sure even 3 years in, you could agree when you're like, man, I've had a new bit. And then, like, something truly fucked up happens to you, and you go, this is going to be awesome on stage.
Yeah.
Like that's your first thought of, like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this on stage.
Well, you ever hear a chick say this one, do you? This, you better not do a bit about me. It's like, get out of here.
Well, because the thing is, most of the time when someone says that to you, it's because, like,
they know it's a one-night stand.
Or they hiccuped during dinner, and they think you're going to do 20 minutes on that. Like, oh, my God, I just hiccuped during my tortellini.
Isn't that great that some people have that view of comedians, that they're so perceptive and desperate for material that it's like, and that we're that observant to where it's like, you drop your fork in a restaurant, and they're like, oh, God, don't put that in your act. It's like, fucking take it easy. You're not that interesting. You're not that interesting right
now. You're at the comedy store, like, hey, man, so last night I'm eating over at this restaurant. The bitch drops her fork, huh?
Pick huge laugh. Yeah. Huge laugh. Destruction.
Yeah, the bitch, dude.
Picks it up, keeps eating.
Oh, my God, this bitch.
Waiter comes over. Would you like a new fork? She looks at him, right, and sets up like that. She looks at him, and I swear to God, says, no, I'm good.
Catchphrase.
Yeah. No, I'm good with somebody holding
a fork.
Yeah.
Oh, so fucking dumb.
The problem is I know some comedians that might try to sell those.
Of course.
Oh, man.
Now, all right, so Dean, you've been hustling your ass off, and you're getting up everywhere, and you made a lot of progress. I want to ask you, 3 years in, what if it, let's say there's a comedian here that just moved to L.A., and we know some that are out there that are grinding. And I know some that are, you know, a year in and aren't grinding nearly as half as much as you or at all, really.
Right.
What would you tell somebody who's starting in L.A.? Because obviously, like we said, it's just you're inundated with comedians, people trying to be comedians. People call themselves a comedian and do it once every 4 months.
Yep.
You're trying to get in all these big rooms.
Yeah.
How do you
– I've only been doing 3 years, but I almost at 1,500 spots.
See, what would you tell? No,
I mean,
I just got here.
You just got here.
What would you tell
Dean?
I can't
get on.
What would you tell me of 3 years ago?
Yeah, here's the thing, man.
Brad, if you can't see it, is laying down in a fetal position on the couch.
Brad's doing like a breakdancing move on the couch.
I'm having this weird thing because it's Dean Del Rey giving advice to Dean Del Rey.
It's awesome.
I'm loving this.
I mean, you know, the thing is, like, if you're not going to work hard, just stop right away. Because there's, like, I've played music 25 years. I've never worked this hard at anything in my life, like comedy, ever. Like, music... You got some other guys. If you're a little burnt, they pick up the slack.
Sure.
You know.
Comedy's all on you. It's solo adventure. There's nobody else to rely on but you. And that's, to me, what's most appealing about it. Because when I was trying to, after I graduated, I was like, oh, do I want to do improv and sketch?
Yep.
But it was relying on people to organize rehearsals and fucking shoots. And I was like, dude, I just got to.
That shit sucks.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. If you're relying on other people, they always fuck you up. That's why I love comedy.
Sure.
Because after playing music so long, you always got the guy like, oh, the old lady doesn't want me to rehearse tonight. Or,
yeah,
or the old lady wants to know why we only made two
other people holding
night.
You back.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You got different visions. One guy wants to get laid. The other guy just wants to play, doesn't care about anything.
Sure.
The other guy just wants to do drugs.
Right. And then you never available for rehearsals. One guy calls you up. It's like, you know, I mean, you guys know Wednesday night's Gossip Girl. I can't go out because
it fucking happens, man. You can't believe it. You're going, what? Oh, you're out of here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How many open mics or how many nights hanging at a comedy club, seeing and observing people who are, you know, killing it, did it take for you to go, wow, I see what it's going to take for me to really make a...
You know, I didn't really see what it took until I started doing it. You know what I mean? Like, when you're watching it, I swear to God, when I was watching it, like, the year before I started, I go, oh, I'm going to start going to the clubs, watch and see what it's done. I just thought these guys, like, you know, say Sebastian or, like, that's who I was seeing a lot.
Sure, sure.
I just thought they just popped in and just winged some shit and rolled.
Wow.
I swear to God.
It's so amazing.
He's a naturally funny dude. He'll just go up there and talk
to him. Yeah. You know what? This is one thing I said. I swear to God, I told Jay Davis this when I start, and I go, man, I'm not going to be like these fucking guys doing the same shit every night. Fuck that. Every night, I'm going to come in with new stuff. Yeah. And these guys.
I think about shit during the entire day. Probably 20 different things I could talk about.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I also noticed everything I wrote down when I started, when I would go to the comedy club, I would go to watch and I go, oh, well, just check that off. The guy just did that one. Oh, just check that off. You know, because they're like premises that everybody's thinking.
Sure.
You know, I had skydiving joke. I had one that, like, I was going to do about, you know, hitchhikers, whatever. They're just getting peeled off the list.
Yeah,
and you're going, wow,
sure.
I got nothing.
It's funny you mentioned that you thought that comics do it new every night and just wing it. I just did a show at the Irvine Improv on Sunday. And then by the time this airs, this show will have already happened. But I was at the Ontario Improv on Friday. There was someone at the Irvine show that went, now is it going to be all new stuff if we come and see you in Ontario? I'm like, it's 5 fucking days away.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What, with a holiday in between. You expect me to write an hour's worth of material?
Yes, I mean, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you want an hour.
Well,
like,
that's the new era.
Like, Louis C.K. is doing something unbelievable in this business where he's doing a new special every year.
That's right.
That was fucking heard
and
of.
And he is up, like, working it out in New York every night and when he comes out here. But he's also at a point to where he's so clear on his voice and his stuff that he can probably say a bit out in his head and know almost, you know, how
Louis C.K.
20 years in, man, you just go like, oh, I saw a guy fucking just eat shit today, and he knows how it's going to make it funny.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah,
one veteran comic once described it to me as, you get to a point where your act is a machine. You drop in the premise, and then out pops the joke because you just know how you view it, what your take is on it. And some of these guys, like Louis, like a Bill Burr that does a new special
George
at least
Carlin
every other year.
Years.
Carlin did it. He knows his voice, and it's figuring that out. And some people are like, well, it's just your opinion. Your voice is your opinion. It's not. It's how you view it, how you can break something down, how you can look at something and come up with an observation that no one else can come at.
That's right.
I mean, because one thing I this is like the third time I've mentioned him, or he's come up in the podcast now, but one thing that Bill Burr does is he does a bit and you go, fuck, like, how many people talk about their dogs, yet he's doing this bit about his dog that's completely different than anyone.
Yeah, I once heard that if you're going to have a bit like everybody else is doing, I forgot who told me this, make sure it's I think it was Bill that told me this, that it's the quintessential, you know, like he has the Schwarzenegger joke.
Right.
It's the Schwarzenegger joke. Once you see that, you go, well, I'm just going to not do a Schwarzenegger joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure that yours is the best one. You know what I mean? And that's
absolutely
what he did on that last special.
Now, this is going to segue into your music career, but what made you finally go, okay, I want to switch things up? Just what got you? What was it being influenced by? Where were we at time wise?
Oh, we're good.
Okay, cool.
35 minutes.
Good. Was it seeing comedians, being a fan of comedy? Like you've probably always been a fan of comedy, right? But was it just being like done with one chapter of your life, or was it like, do you see one show and you're like, fuck? Because we were just talking about this earlier, how in your music days you were just like, you know, because you don't party, you don't do a drink or anything like that. And
I burned it up, huh?
Yeah. So, but you were like the life of the party back then, which I feel like a lot of, not all comedians, but there's a handful of us that were in social situations you know, people, you attracted a crowd. And
sure.
I think that's why you got up on stage. I know I was that way. I know you were that way. I was that way. So what was it that made you want to jump into this and leave music?
I always wanted to do comedy. But mm-hmm. when I was a kid growing up in the Bay Area and stuff, there wasn't kids doing comedy. You know what I mean?
They all had guitars in the quad, and those guys were getting laid at age 16.
Start playing music. I mean, like, to me, the comedians were Robin Williams when I was growing up, mm-hmm. Bob Catt in San Francisco, Bobby Slayton, Kerry Snow. They were older people. Yeah. They weren't fucking 15 years old. You know what I'm saying? So
there was nobody 10 years older than you for you to look up to and go.
Which is
crazy because now there's Bo Burnham breaks at 17, so now all these 12-year-olds are like, I'm going to start stand-up.
Oh, yeah, you can go to Laugh Factory Comedy Camp. You know what I mean? They didn't have shit like that when I was but every kid in the neighborhood had bands in the garage.
There you go.
And I was like, you know what? I was into two things. I was into Cheech and Chong, Carlin, Pryor. I loved the swearing and stuff.
Right.
I was like, whoa, listen to this shit. And I also loved Ted Nugent, AC/DC. And Zeppelin and the Eagles and shit. So I was bold, and they ran together at the time. You know what I'm saying?
So you admired performers early on. You were like,
I just liked outlaws, man. Like I liked Hell's Angels.
I like that.
It's a true story, man. I love the Hell's Angels. I love Evel Knievel. I love Ted Nugent, who's a dick now, but at the time.
Side note.
Yeah.
But at the time,
Scott, you know.
Motor City Madman. Like, the guy's crazy. But it's funny how crazy is cool when you're young, but crazy when you're old is crazy.
Well, stay away from me. I have a restraining order.
Yeah, right.
What I don't really understand about Ted Nugent is back when I used to see him, he played in front of 60,000 people.
Wow.
He had to be up there just going, fuck you, garbage people. I hate you. You know what I mean? Because he had to just smoking weed, and he didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
He had to be going, I'd like to drop a bomb on all you, you know. This one's called Wang Dang Sweet Poutine. You know, just fucking crazy, man.
Now, so then how did you go from, all right, I love music, into you start a band? Is that like?
Started a band.
Just growing up
in
Seattle, everybody was starting bands. I mean, even when I was in sixth grade, there were kids in my school being like, hey, man, we got a band in seventh grade. We're called Half Mast.
Yeah, in high school, man, you know, like I was doing drugs, drinking, and playing at the biggest San Francisco clubs. Why people were like, what'd you do last night? I watched Happy Days. I was like, I played at the Stone on Broadway and then went to a strip joint after we snuck in the back. You know what I mean? Like real shit.
God, stories.
I tried a little fucking bump of coke, man. You know? Like,
see, at what age?
16, man. This buddy life of mine was dealing.
Dean Del Rey, if you ever have kids,
but
if you do, if you forget to pull out, condom breaks, whatever, if I can't wait for the day when, because it happens to all parents, when the kid looks at the parent and goes, shut up, Dad, you're not cool. You're like, listen, you little son of a bitch.
Sit the fuck down. Listen to the About Last Night podcast.
You better fucking look around this hut, motherfucker. That's me.
Look at those pictures. Show Brad. All right.
Here you go, Brad. This is me in 81 on the Back in Black tour. Backstage.
Wow. You got Hulk Hogan hair.
Yeah, it was blonde. It was like, I used to work construction, and it was like just blonde.
And that's with...
Brad a quick Wikipedia of the bands you've opened with, the bands
like,
you've seen.
AC/DC is my favorite band of all time.
Look at this. Insane. This is Bon Scott tattooed on
you. You got Bon Scott tattooed on you.
Yeah, so that's 1980, actually, Back in Black tour, backstage at the Cow Palace, okay?
I tell you what, you been.
It's me with the Bullet Boys. Remember them? Were you around there?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And so you've done this, man. You've been with these bands.
I was just telling Dean, I was like, I mean, do you see that long, flowy blonde hair? He had jean shorts in a picture.
Yeah. I dressed like Adam Ray Earl.
Yo,
that's why he's trying to save you. It's Dean Del Rey talking to young Dean Del Rey.
See what's going on?
You're the ghost of fucking fashion past.
What I'm trying to help you out is later on in life with photos, you go,
you've already been through it. You know what? You're not just fucking. Yeah. That's great, dude.
This is a funny one. Look at this. cowboy hat, you know, like bandanas on.
Showing off matching hula girl tattoos or something.
Yeah, that's L.A. Guns, Tracy Guns right there.
L.A. Guns.
But see, I'm looking back at those jean shorts and long hair going, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't think somebody will look back at my maroon pants and go, dude, hell yeah.
No.
You know Seattle, the thing I liked about Seattle was... I grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco and stuff.
Very similar.
Yeah, just same clothes. All of a sudden, you didn't have to buy clothes anymore. You just wore the clothes you had.
And
all of a sudden, it was trendy.
The worse you look, the better.
You know what's going to happen to your maroon pants, Adam Ray? I don't know if you remember this commercial. I think it was for like a website that sold stuff like eBay. I think it was an eBay commercial. Some dude is selling a lime green hatchback car. And he's got his wife next to him going, who the hell is going to want a lime green hatchback?
Oh, yeah, remember that?
Cut to that guy who's in a lime green everything house, a lime green mug, lime green suit. He goes, oh, sweet Jesus, a lime green hatchback.
Yeah.
That's going to be a guy with your maroon pants.
There's a market for everything. There's a buyer at any point in time.
Hey, which, by the way, this has got to be the best podcast I've done. Like,
oh, really?
Well, it's like... three dudes talking about some good shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, other people listening are going, no, these guys aren't talking about good shit. But I'm just saying.
We could easily sit here and talk comedy the entire time. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, you know, there's people that are well-rounded, like, you know, the stuff musically that you've
And by well-rounded, through, you mean have done a fuckload of drugs.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
Have,
like
have every drug. Pill and liquid in their nose.
Like
I've done them all. You guys, what drugs do you
have?
Guys
you really?
I've done them all.
I can only claim weed and did cocaine one time and then said never doing
now,
that.
Now, what
shit
are the
again.
Cocaine effects on a dwarf? And be honest.
Basically, that ceiling was spotless that night.
Because you cleaned it?
Oh, my God. My dad's real OCD, and I was always raised to, you know, keep
room clean,
everything clean. And I don't have it, but for some odd reason, when I'm on coke,
it comes out.
Everything comes out, and I'm super OCD, and I'm looking around, and the paranoia, like, well, I somehow relate that if someone's going to see that splotch on the wall, they're going to know I'm on coke.
Yeah.
So I need to clean that splotch on the wall.
Wow.
I remember these thoughts going in my head, and at the same time, remembering thoughts going, Brad, shut up, you're insane, but you still fucking clean, and you're still like all these things come out of you. So when that happened, I was like, no, I'm never doing that again.
Your size, do you need a big bump or a little bump?
I did one bump, and I was like, and I tell people that, and they think it's a joke, but it's truly not. Like, I get drunk quick.
Yeah, you do.
Like
half
two,
a beer.
Well, of course.
Half beer, I'm buzzing hard. Right. Two beers, gone. I'm not driving that night. Yeah. Like, I'm the cheapest day in the world. So that's me. It's not that advanced. Adam, I know you've done weed.
Yeah, I mean, I've done weed. I mean,
you mean an hour ago?
Yeah. Man, fuck, if this was 5 years ago,
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, I smoked pot maybe twice before I came down here, and then when I got to college, my freshman year roommate was just like, what's up, man? My name's Justin, dude. Fucking from Del Mar, San Diego, dude. Fuck, you smoke pot? Within 2 minutes, he asked me if I smoke pot. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I have, you know, twice in my head.
Yeah, your first day at college, you want to be cool
right off the bat. Cool, dude. He's like, fucking, we'll burn later, dude. Fucking, my folks are here. They'll burn with us.
Oh, I'm just like, gross. Oh, Jesus. That's always the grossest to me. When the kid gets high with their parents.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, I don't give a fuck what you do, but we got to separate getting high from us and your parents. There's always this. I used to know this guy. His mom was the coke dealer.
Oh, God.
It was so funny. Dude, I went to school with this guy, high school, and at night, we'd be like, you think your mom could front us? And she would.
Wow. And was that guy proud of his mom?
You know,
or was that guy like hated
it?
It
was just kind of a fucked up. A lot of my
coke mom. That sounds like a fucking
and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, not like the biker trash like Modesto, but more like, you know, Bay Area biker.
Yo, there's no reason why Coke Mom can't be on MTV or TLC. It's
coke
like
mom
a
was really
a reality show
too.
Of course, dude, a hot mom who sells coke to her son's friends.
Yep.
Oh, you're lining up at her window every night going, all right, blowjob or coke. Either way, I'm coming out on top.
I think the funnest part about coke is going to get it. After you get it, you're kind of like, we got it, and you're doing it or whatever, and you're a weirdo. But going to get it, the mission,
All right, yeah. Well, I got excitement. All right, you definitely sound like you. All right, so I've done shrooms twice. I love those. I haven't done ecstasy or fucking meth or coke. I've been around coke a lot just from so many actors at acting school that I see were doing that shit. And I was tempted a few times, but I also just, you know, pot I never had a negative, you know, connotation of. Shrooms, I was like, I heard some great stories that made me go, fuck, I want to just try that once.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm curious what my brain will come up with.
Right.
When somebody tells me they looked at a painting and the fucking, it was a guy, a cartoon like jazz guy holding it, pouring a drink, and the drink was spilling on his floor and he was crying watching fucking music videos. And I was like, that just sounds ridiculous. I want to just see what that's like. He said he was dancing with a girl and it felt like he was coming in his pants and then he feels down and it's completely dry.
I don't know what mushrooms he was taking.
Yeah.
They were ecstasy mushrooms.
Okay. It sounds like makeup mushrooms. Guy never really took them. He just made shit up. You know those guys?
Oh, God. The guy that doesn't want to smoke pot, so he tells you about one story that was so crazy that didn't even happen, just to let you know that I tried it, I'm done.
It's the craziest story ever. Oh, yeah.
He goes, I took one hit and fucking saw my dad who passed away 9 years ago. Jesus was hovering over my head taking shits on my sofa.
I don't do pot
anymore.
Where
you
get that weed
at? Yeah, that weed doesn't exist.
Hi, guys. Fraser Smith here wearing my I'm Rick D's t-shirt. I think it's a good look. Hey, listen, I've got the live show every Tuesday night here at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. $2 Tuesdays, guys. Come on, $2 to get in, $2 beers, first of all, and $3 parking. We lied about the $3 on the parking, but that's not bad, right? So please check that out. Come on down to John Lovitz Comedy Club. It's an 8 o'clock show. We have some awesome stand-up comics. There goes my producer closing the door in the middle of the promo. But we also want you to join us on our podcast. It's 1 o'clock Tuesdays. And then I understand there's a thing called downloading. I don't know what that is, but if you want to do that too, fine. We've got some great guests. The show is awesome. This week we have the great Darren Carter, who didn't make it, and Dangerous Dick. So check us out. We have no actual guests, but we have a great podcast, and we have a great Tuesday night show. $2 beers, guys. Come on.
We're back on the GoCast Network.
So coke, the journey is better than getting the actual...
Well, coke to me is a weird thing. I only do it when I would be really fucked up on booze. Mm. Like, if you do coke sober, it's gross to me. You're like, you know what I mean?
You can't hide the twitches.
That
was probably my problem.
Fucking bug running across my floor right there.
Oh, right.
And we're not even on shrooms. Look at that fucking thing.
Well,
man.
No, I think we're just talking about drugs, and the bug came out like, you holding?
That's a cricket, dude.
Oh, my God. Kill that thing, Adam.
Yo, when I was on mushrooms, I definitely talked to some fucking insects.
You talked to insects?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hey,
there was one that was sitting there just looking right at me, and I was just like, dude, you don't even know what's happening right now. I started talking to him about my ex-girlfriend at the time. Dean's taking him out.
Dean's firing off after a cricket right now.
Yep, there he goes. Nope.
We're literally watching.
You are listening to a live bug murder. On the About Last Night podcast.
What? He's surviving.
Nope.
Yeah, you had.
Wait, that was a grasshopper.
Whatever.
All
grasshopper cricket.
You know what? Thanks, Dean Del Rey. You just killed a bug on our podcast. Now our one listener, who is a card-carrying member of PETA, is like, I will never listen to this podcast again. They murdered Jiminy Cricket podcast. I can't do this.
Fuck it.
What's now out of your music? So I mean, you apparently have opened for a lot of big bands.
I have, yeah. Tom Petty.
Holy shit.
One of my
Black
favorite
Crows,
bands.
Lenny Kravitz.
Wallflowers.
Wallflowers. Did a 10-month tour with the Wallflowers around the world.
Wow.
Also shot a documentary film on Jacob Dylan that he has at his house that probably one day will come out.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. It's just pretty sensitive at the time.
Now, I've always wondered this because when I go to concerts, you know, I try to pay attention to the opening bands, but, you know, you're there for the headliner.
Right.
So... Did you find that people came and you got new fans of your band who you?
I'll tell you what, that was, I think, 2006 or something. I don't know, man. My brain is foggy. stuff. It is. It's just weird because it's all.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by cocaine.
It's all. I mean, you know, all the years for seem sure, the same yeah. to me yeah, in course. The 2000s. There's nothing. You know, I mean,
nothing
like,
sticks out.
You know, when you're doing shit as cool as me, like touring with the Stones and stuff, it's just you know.
Wow.
That's not like
wow.
Brian Callen there, right?
Yeah, dude.
But my shit's
well, you
real.
Know, when you've been into Hangover 1, Hangover 2, Mad About You, Sex and the City,
I mean,
Entourage.
When you're in like Brazil with the Stones and there's 1 million people. You know. You forget shit. But well, I was lucky to be a solo acoustic on that Wallflowers tour.
Oh, okay.
Now, on some of the tours, it's not like the old days where the bands were like, oh, boo, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Usually the fans know of the guy from websites. Or
sure,
where like, oh,
sure.
These are their friends, and we dig
right.
them, too.
Right.
It's like, you know, kind of grassroots feel,
yeah.
which is cool, but... You do get some evil, you know, like I would see chat boards like, oh, why is Dean opening? They should have Billy Bob open or what, you know,
Jesus.
People like different sports.
Well, at least
teams.
You were enough to be like in a discussion of whether it's, you know, positive or negative
yeah.
Yeah.
mentions.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine my favorite because I've seen this happen in comedy before where they go like, oh, man, you know, your opening act, I didn't really like him. You should tour with like Chris Porter
yeah.
or like they name some other headliner. It's
yeah.
like, I would love to. But guess yeah. what? We're both doing comedy clubs, and if we both do that, there's not enough money to go around. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're kind of – so I'm
you know who's funny? Chris Rock. You should see if you could go around the country with him.
I like when how they act like you have no idea how the business works. Yeah. You ever notice that?
Yet they still tell you
yeah.
how you should operate.
I had a chick come up to me at Scottsdale, and I had like a really good set this particular one time. I didn't bomb. And I was wearing glasses that night because Jay Davis
yeah.
got us there late. He forgot that Scottsdale doesn't have the time change.
Oh,
so
right.
Now we're late.
Oh, wow.
So I wear glasses. So I get there. The guy goes, get the fuck on. You guys are late. And I run in, right? And I'm mad because,
yeah.
you know, I'm like, God damn it. I gotta go now. And I deliver this just mad, funny ass set.
But it was great. Yeah.
Kill it.
Yeah, man.
After I'm done, chick comes up to me. And she goes, you were really great. You look like Drew Carey. I said, oh, right on. She goes, you know what would be funny? It's if you did Drew Carey's jokes. And
wow.
I was like, you know what would be funny? It's if you were a hot chick.
Wow.
And just that's how mad I
you
was.
You were angry.
Of course.
I just rocked it. Because she just says it would be funny.
Yeah,
that's not even a, I mean, that's not even an intelligent, like, there's not even an ounce of
yep.
suggestion in there that you might be like, yeah, or humor and go,
yeah,
you know, I'll think about it. Like,
sure.
I see what you're trying to do. There's no way that's going to help you at all.
It's a straight insult.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. They have no idea about
sure.
the biz or whatever. They just
sure.
think, well, I'll show up next week and do some prior stuff.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yo, when I went in, you know, so I went in for this callback today and to play De Niro's son in this movie. My mom, I swear
fingers
to God.
Fingers crossed.
You,
hope you get it.
Fingers crossed. My
yeah,
mom,
yeah.
I swear to God to you, she goes, you should tell them how much you like De Niro. Then she goes, you should tell them, because this character is De Niro, like, bailed on him when
he was
younger.
Are you doing, like, This Boy's Life too? Like, it's older now?
Yes. Yeah. She goes, you should tell them that, because De Niro bailed on the kid when he was younger, she goes, you should tell them that, you know, your dad bailed on you, and tell them that, you know, that he was a doctor, and that your dad also likes De Niro. Like, things like that I'm
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Why would you even think?
Yeah, the room works like that.
And then she was just like, "All right, well, you know, hey, you, I'm throwing it out there. You can say no, thank you."
Yeah.
It's like, don't make me feel like an asshole for not taking an awful suggestion.
Yeah.
But
in what world is she living in where you show up before you even audition? You say, "Hey, hey guys, thanks
in
for having
room,
me."
In the room, first of all, 10 guys.
Yeah, but before I even start, let me just tell you what a big fan I am of Robert De Niro, and then the director throws down his glasses and goes, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
You've got
yeah,
the part.
Or he throws in this one. My father left me. So I know exactly how to play this, man. I'm hurting out here.
Yeah.
You know, like, we got to give it to him. His father left him.
Because that's not happening to anyone
and
else
know,
nowadays.
And
everyone's father's around.
Yeah. And I know she means well, but it's like,
sure.
just, you know, they're God, man, you forget how, like, deep into this we are that you can't really sometimes see it from the other side because you're like – you just assume. You're like, all right,
Because I'm sure we can all remember starting out how unsavvy business.
Absolutely.
In the business aspect of this we are. And we're all still learning. We're all still relatively pretty new in this and trying to figure shit out and, you know, how to, when to kind of, you know, email somebody about something or how to conduct yourself.
I fuck up all the time. My new thing is don't talk to people in public. You know what I mean? Like managers.
There's no rule book for it.
Like Comedy Central came up to me a couple weeks ago and they're like, you're incredible, man. We like to have a meeting with you. You give me a card. After about an hour, I'm pretty sure they're like, don't answer that guy's calls. Because he started like talking too much. Man.
You got to save it.
When
you take the card.
A manager, like, I don't. You just fuck up. And they go like, see you later.
Just accept the compliment.
I know.
Walk away.
And go with mystique.
Just walk away and let them think that what you were about to say was going to be the most genius thing they ever heard.
That way, if you fuck up and say something crazy and you do it in their office, like conference room setup, they're like, he took some risks today. It's like, even though you were being fucking crazy and like kind of weird, but you do that in a social setting, they're like, he doesn't know how to interact with humans. But in a conference room, this guy's fucking bold.
Right.
He made a choice to be different.
It's so tough, man, you know, like when you're out there because you're like, you don't know how to talk to the people because they're dicks.
Right.
Usually they're just like.
They're looking for you to do something not appropriate in their minds.
And there's always the guy that hates you and then maybe two that like you. So they're dying to pounce on any mistake you made.
Sure.
Like, I told you.
Right.
And guess what?
Because
they want their boy.
Because it wasn't their idea to have you. And everyone just wants their guy. So they could be like, remember it with me?
Yeah.
I thought of it. So I should be the head of the studio.
But, you know. By the way, that's Brad's impression of you. By the way, you think my dean? You think my dean is bad?
He did me death. Yeah. You see that? He's like, oh, by the way, did you know I should be head of the studio?
Wait. Let's try to do a deaf Dean Del Rey.
Jesus, Dean Del Deaf.
Dean Del Deaf. That sounds like a rapper. Then that's a cool name. Like,
yo, man,
yo, what's up, motherfucker? Dean Del Deaf here. coming from the H Wood under the sign with the cocaine smile. Look out, motherfucker! H Wood, Dean Del Deaf, and Brad on the side. Hit it.
I'm buying that album.
And my main man, Adam Ray, in his maroon pants.
Adam Ray dresses like he goes to the Goodwill.
Says, fuck it.
Motherfucker gets no thrill on his package in those gray pants. No, they're maroon because I'm colorblind.
I'm colorblind.
So bad.
Colorblind in the Goodwill.
And then Rihanna comes in, sings the hook, and
it's a hit.
And it's a hit.
Taylor Swift dates you. Fuck. Callback.
It came full circle.
Now, has there been a, since you've had quite the experiences both in the comedy world and music, have you met somebody that you've gotten starstruck by? Are you so just like unfazed by it now because you've been with big acts and you hang with big comics?
I mean, I feel weird around CK, you know?
Louis,
I see him.
Because he's the fucking Michael Jordan stand-up.
Well, to me, I saw him about 5 years ago before I started comedy. I was going to Jay Davis's Live at the Party, and he was working that Shameless stuff. I guess he was living at Venice at the time, and he was doing the Lucky Louie show.
Right.
I didn't know who he was, and this is when I really wanted to start doing comedy all of a sudden because I was there, and I was seeing these guys, and I was like, this is a whole new fucking thing, man.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen comedy in about 15 years, except for Chris Rock, I'd go see.
Sure.
I'd see Seinfeld.
But, like, musically, that means you're a creative person, so you're seeing these guys you don't know about and seeing what they're creating and thinking, like, oh, man, I haven't even viewed
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like, what? These guys are gangster.
Right.
You know?
And so you see Louie.
I started seeing him working this stuff. And, you know, I never remember guys' names. Everybody has weird names. You know, it's like, you know, like Louis C.K. So I asked Jay, what was that one guy? And he's like, I don't know. He told me, he's like, oh, you mean Mike Marino? He was describing other dudes. I was like, I know. He's like, oh, but he's nothing. And then about a month later, I saw him again. I was like, oh, this is the guy. So now when I see him at the improv and stuff, what do you say to that guy?
Because you've seen him. You saw him before he really, which is crazy, before he blew up. But it's like, shit, man, 25, 30 years in the making.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, him, Bill Burr's, I hang with Bill Burr. Like, we went dirt bike riding and stuff. But it's always kind of weird to talk to him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because I love his comedy. And I just kind of feel weird around, you know. Like, I hang around big stars and, like, music and stuff. But those are friends over years.
Yeah,
and you get over that. But with comics, you see them for 5 minutes. You're like, hey, oh, hey.
Yeah. You're also on their level probably in that world. Like, you're hanging with Bill. Is there a little bit of like, shit, we're in the same boat, but you're years ahead of me. So yeah. You feel a little inferior. Maybe.
Well, I tell people this, man. Comedy is the only thing you do where the pros and the beginners are in the same room all the time.
Yeah.
And you're next to the guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a beginner band, you don't hang out with AC/DC. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're not in the hall going, hey, you guys working on some new tunes?
Yeah, yeah,
there?
Yeah.
You know
the kid who's practicing his clarinet solo for the talent show isn't going on the same stage as Ben Harper.
Same thing, or even right. acting. You do the audition, you maybe see, like I did a movie with Ice Cube, you see him on the set like that day. You don't see him weeks before. So that's
sure.
even weird. Like, whoa, that's fucking Ice Cube, man. I grew up on NWA. Now I'm doing the first scene with him. We haven't even said hi to each other yet.
Yeah.
And
now
we got to
do that.
Shit.
But you're absolutely right. And it's one of the things I love about it, because you watch comedian documentaries. You watch I Am Comic. You watch comedian. And then you see, like, especially in comedian, you see Jerry Seinfeld, the top of our business, doing exactly what you're doing.
Working yeah. out.
Working out material.
And he's eating it, and those guys are going like, you used to be funny. And like, giving him no respect.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we know you have been funny for 20 years, but these 10 minutes right now, you're not funny, so fuck you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what? That's a fucking... I mean, I enjoy watching Bill Burr or CK. When CK's working out stuff, I make sure I go all fucking shows to see him. Because I learned so much to see how fast he tweaks stuff and the moves he made and the chances he takes.
Also, it's inspiring, man, to see, to know what is still possible and what when you stick with it, and to see how much, you know, if you go back and watch him now working his hour out, and then you watch a clip of him 10 years ago and see that there's even a difference there, even though, because you just assume, like you said with Seinfeld, like, shit, until that documentary came out, I just assumed, oh, that guy was always great and he was always... Which there are some people that always have something in that. Like Chappelle, I hear he was like killer when he started. But no way he was near what he is now.
Right.
But people that go see comedy shows, they also, when they're like, they see 10 minutes of Seinfeld after seeing him for years, and they go, God, what happened to him? After the 10 minutes they saw, a giant chunk of the people who do that don't step back and go, oh, he's working out. Or
they don't understand.
They don't understand the process. Which kind of sucks, but at the same time, it's good for us that they don't know that, because then it forces Seinfeld to get that reaction of maybe a little bit too judgmental and not giving him the benefit of the doubt on everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with us is like especially me, like you, I go on with Brad or Dalia, or these guys are murdering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everyone's looking at you like, why does he have this spot?
Yeah.
Why does he have it? Let's see. Right. Is he funny? I'm just as funny as this guy.
Yeah, so even the comics are sitting back there.
Yeah,
just
and
like,
so you got to fucking deliver, man.
Sure.
You know?
It's funny. Half the time you're performing, for the audience, but you want... You want the comics up in the balcony of the Laugh Factory go, oh, that's why he... That's why he is where he is, because he just did that.
Well, it's just like in every art form, man. You want the respect of
you want
job.
The guys to like you. You don't want to be dicks to you.
And you want to feel like that you're doing something, special, or whether it's super original, or I don't think we all go into it thinking we want to break boundaries and do something like change the game. But like man, you kind of have to have a little bit of that, like I want to, be a voice that maybe hasn't totally been.
You want to leave your mark.
Yeah, you want to leave
your
mark.
I do like that about my thing, like my look. You know, nobody's really like the rocker comic now.
Also, dude, and I've talked to you about this, like this shit musically that you've gone through, that's chapter of your life. And I know you said you're going to, that'll come out when you're ready to come out about
it. Right, yeah.
I mean, right off the bat, I was, I have, crazy fucking family life, and I don't go into it too much because I don't feel comfortable right now talking about it.
Yep.
But there'll be a time, when I'll fucking sit down and probably 2 hours of shit on it.
Well, I want to do music stuff, but I found, like I told you, is people don't like good music, most of the people in the crowd. So if you're like, fuck, I was at the, I went and saw, My Morning Jacket a couple days ago, and this guy, they're like, what's a My Morning Jacket? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Everybody's like so...
like if comics are doing like hip-hop jokes or whatever, and that's the only thing because it's so mainstream, the music.
Right. They don't know.
They don't know. Now, right. When I do alt rooms, I can get away with doing some fucking funny shit like Ted Nugent's an asshole. You know what I mean? I can just, you know, whatever.
You're funny. God, and that it's a good point you make about being somewhat mainstream with stuff and hitting that mass appeal, man, and wanting to, yeah, like five more. And hitting that mass appeal, it's like you want to, you know, make your shit your own and original and have it be consistent with your voice. But, yeah, man, sometimes you get like a – when you do Vegas or any casino gig where you're like, I got to have some material that's going to not isolate the crowd and
that's
be
right.
something for everybody. And, like
– right.
And that's something I think that we figure out as we go through that you got to – you know, I think anyway that, like, you know – you know, you got to have some stuff that maybe plays to some, you know, have some.
You got to have your 2.5 men jokes.
That are for
percentage of the country.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be something that's not on your voice that you don't think is funny.
Yeah,
it's just something that maybe.
You got to find the thing that's not selling out. You're not doing a Gallagher squish the watermelon, but you are doing something that's reaching the guy that's 70 and the guys that are 20 in the front. You
right.
know?
Like Frazier Smith, who is a, you know, one line comic who is a great, been around for a while and fucking, you know, crushes everywhere he goes because there's just not a lot of people like that. And it's something that everybody
material. Like, you know,
but he can't, but you know,
stuff.
Totally. But like, we couldn't go, you know, if you know, that stuff also for casinos and older crowds and Vegas rooms crushes more than it does in like an LA Hollywood room.
Yeah. Just because comedy juice or something like
just
that.
Just because there's a more, I think, diverse crowds out here. And so in Vegas, you're kind of getting across the board. Like, so we couldn't be like, let me write my quick one liner to have for Vegas. Like, we couldn't do that because.
Right. I feel I would be way more edgier even more if I didn't have to worry about not being booked again. That's my main fear.
That too. And I mean, especially when you're that young in the business and you haven't established yourself where club owners can go, okay, he's trying something.
Right.
Let's see where this goes.
Exactly.
Right now, you want to just crush it every night. So club owners are just like, holy shit, we got to get Dean Del Rey back.
Yeah, that's all.
And you got to be Deliver City every time. And then finally, when the other shit comes up with the TV, the movie stuff, then that's when they go, all right, you can have these spots. And guess what? Now you have a little more leeway to fuck around because we know people are coming out for you.
That's correct.
Like, when you're not selling tickets yet, it's like, hey, man, don't fucking.
You can't be walking the room on a fucking, you know.
Well, Dean, you are certainly on your way there. You have the work ethic. It's really fun. It's fun to watch you on stage.
Oh, man.
It is and you're one of those guys where when you go up on stage, all the comics go, hey, dude, Dean's on.
Yeah, dude.
Let's see it.
That's cool.
Plug your stuff, man. Where can people find you at?
I got Twitter, Dean Del Rey. That's R-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the podcast, Let There Be Talk, on iTunes.
There you go.
Website, DeanDelRey.net, which has all my dates and videos. And then I did a bunch of movies that you can find.
Yeah, got two of them right here that I'm going to watch fucking tomorrow night.
Yeah, I did a Tarantino film, Hell Ride. I did a movie with Ice Cube called The Long Shots. Those are Netflix.
Dean is going to star in Maroon Pence, the Adam Ray story.
he's going to play the Adam Ray pilots. Yeah. I do Adam Ray's pilots like every 6 months.
You're great, dude. Yeah. Dean played this in this pilot that a buddy of mine wrote. Mm-hmm. That I play this agent that, you know, gets fired and ends up taking the only client of his. It's this crazy lunatic guy who's a hand model. And I stay with him, and he's making all this money, and I'm trying to build myself back up. But Dean plays my, like, top client, who's like the white Chris Tucker, basically. And he's a part of this franchise called Pants Party. It's like all these great comedies.
That sounds like your Maroon Pants right
now. Yeah, Maroon Pants Party.
And Dean in the meeting is trying to pitch, like, other projects. Like, I'm like, you're a comedy guy. You know, this is what people know and love you for. We're making billions of dollars. And he's like, man, I want to fucking do action movies. And what's the movie you pitch?
Snake Snappers. I made it up. I want to be cutting, you know, I want to kung fu snakes' heads off in the jungle. Snake Snappers, man. What happened to that script?
What's weird is I can picture actual Dean Del Rey saying that.
Incredible. You can picture Dean's face on a poster breaking a snake's face in half. And what's the tagline?
And I go, tonight I bite back.
I want to see that now. Yeah. So
thank you for having me. For real, man.
Dude.
It's so great. I love you guys. And
it was fun.
Yeah, dude.
It's cool. Like, great podcast, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. You know? No problem.
Well, dude, always the best shows when we get these reviews, too, is that when people go, it sounds like dudes just hanging out and talking.
Oh,
and
that
it's
was it.
you don't always
That's
have good back and forth. And
I fucking killed a grasshopper on your show. So there you go, right? Grasshopper.
Yeah,
badass man. Adam, talk about your stuff.
You find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All my videos AdamRayTV.com, and I'll be at the Las Vegas Improv November 27th through December 2nd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this will be on Monday. Oh wait, no, this
Monday or Tuesday.
Well, this will be. That'll have already happened. This will be after that week. Hey, Vegas Improv was awesome. Had a lot of fun. Appreciate the staff's help.
You killed that Saturday Late Show.
Shows are great. My my biscuit lips joke went over.
I'm right. By the way, fans, thank you for tweeting me. I got some great ones. You were
Brad got called or a guy. There was a fight in his show, and a white guy called a black dude "shut up, biscuit lips."
Wow.
Yeah. And so
that was like a racial slur that we'd never heard before.
Wow.
So people are tweeting me insults. William Wilbur Wonka Man 4. He said "Pop Tart ankles." That's
Brad,
a good one.
Brad and I decided that food plus part of the body is a new racial slur.
Ah, shit.
Because the guy called him biscuit lips.
Blueberry pussy.
Blueberry pussy.
What is it? Yeah, what are you? Is that like a Mexican slur? Like,
You go.
I actually had a question for Brad. I asked people to tweet questions.
Okay.
Real quick before we go.
Sure.
It was.
Oh, I think I have it because he tagged me in it.
Oh, yeah.
It was how did it feel to take a body shot of Jennifer Swift?
Right.
Yeah, she was at my. Show at the Irvine Improv. Jennifer Swift is Miss Tap Out. Find her on Twitter.
What does that mean?
She writes for MMA. But,
all right.
But she's also ridiculously hot, and she let me take a body shot of her gigantic cans.
Sick.
Which was awesome.
That
and then
sucks.
Also this guy asked if I'd ever met Chuy Bravo.
Yeah,
Bravo. What do I think of him on Chelsea Lately? I've never met him, but I know he's done porn in his life, and I kind of want to see it.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
So there you go. Keep tweeting me your insults at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com.
Subscribe on iTunes.
Subscribe on iTunes and tell your friends about this podcast because we're having fun. We know you're enjoying it, and tell your friends that you're enjoying it. This has been the About Last Night Show. For Adam Ray, Dean Del Rey, I'm Brad Williams. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Go Cast Network.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.